Well, I am delighted to be able to spend an hour and 15 minutes with you. I think most of you are new directors. How many of you have been on the job a year? Show of hands. 2 years? 3 years? Over 3 years.
As a director?
The director. Good point. Thank you. We looked around. We kind of know who we are. I am so qualified to teach this because I have been on the job for 41 years. Yes, thank you. And I have made, I think, most every mistake you can make. So that is my qualification. I am safe in the open. And there's all so many ways we've gotten thrown into this job, but very few of us have ever graduated from college saying, I want to direct a pregnancy center, right? No. God has a sense of humor, and we end up here, and we have a heart of compassion, and we're doing this for the Lord. I don't think it's the money. Anybody in here getting paid a lot? No. Not that. So my role as a CareNet consultant is to help you with your job. I am safe, I am creative, and I am so passionate about what you're doing. I will not be able to help save a baby in your community, but I could help you with the mothers, the fathers, and the babies in your community. I'm just all in to help you. My name's on the CareNet website under staff. Call me. I am here for you. But while I'm here for you, let's get rolling with this a little bit deeper. I obviously am trying to build you on the passion, but your job is hard, and you didn't need me to tell you that. You figured that out, especially in the first few months. But there's been a unique time in history where the culture has been similar to what you're facing right now. I just could go on for 2 hours about the crazy American culture, but you have the advantage of your fingers on the pulse of the culture in your community. We know it's crazy. We know it's tough. And abortion shouldn't be legal. It should not be legal to kill your baby. It should not be legal for women to suffer and men to suffer the trauma of having done it. But here we are, and here you are. But there's been another time in history. A long, long time ago. Oh, my gosh. Genesis, Exodus. In the book of Exodus in the Bible, the government said, we don't like these people. There's too many of them. They're not good for us. Let's kill them. The government was called Pharaoh, Egypt. And the government said, let's kill all these Hebrew babies. And let's use midwives to do it. And there were a few midwives. Their names, three of them are recorded. There had to be more than three because that was getting to be a very large population base. Their names are recorded. Wow. We are like them. We are standing against what the government has decreed. And we say, we will not kill the baby. That's why you have a pregnancy center to run. And that's why you fund it and run it and empower it. And in heaven, I'm pretty sure our names will be recorded. Passionately important what you do. And I think we all get into this work with a passion. But then we have, how do we run a pregnancy center? And that's what we're going to spend an hour talking about, a basics of how it runs and where your role is in it. And a lot of where your role is and how you run a pregnancy center is where your center is. And so I thought, how can I empower you the most in this hour? Well, we know we have boards. God willing, we have staff. And we have you. And how do we mesh the three together? We talk a lot about what the board should do. In fact, I get a kick out of CareNet material. We send some of the material to you and say, the board will, the board should know. And we know the board doesn't know squat. Hey, what are they? Right. So we've got books and manuals on how to do that. And where I wanted to take your direction right now is right into your center. How is your center working, and how do you run a center working at this stage? Now, I remember way back when I was a pregnancy center director before CareNet was invented. But then it was invented, I went to the first CareNet conference, and I was sitting next to somebody, and they said, oh, my center, budget of $800,000 or $900,000, we see 100 women a month. And I thought, my gosh, did I get in the wrong organization? I think we were making we had $10,000 in the bank. We thought we were doing good. So I say this, don't compare yourself to other centers. I want to drill us down to where your center is now, and then lay on some layers of how your center might be acting right now and suggestions on managing it. And that will lead to the board. So let's start with this first page of your handout. Adidas is a very renowned company out of Santa Barbara that does management, corporate management. Now, let me tell you something you might or might not know. Your pregnancy center is a corporation. You are managing a corporation. You've got a 501c3 from the federal government, from the IRS in particular, which is a good and a bad thing. The IRS has rules. They can fine you or perhaps jail you if you really get crazy. So we run our corporations according to IRS rules. And we have a board track later on in the week where I will be teaching your board members IRS rules. But you're running a corporation, so I just wanted to tell you that. We started off with a ministry, now we're into a corporation. That's the way the IRS wants it. So these are some stages of corporate growth. Now, let's don't say corporate anymore. These are the stages of your pregnancy center. Courtship. You started courtship when there were two or three people in the community, and you said, abortion is such a problem. We all know that women need some help. We've got to do something. Let's start a pregnancy center. Let's start with the beginning. If the pregnancy center continued far enough to get affiliated with CareNet, we knew you were on the right track. If the people in the room never got anywhere, they just let the idea fall apart, then we would say, it was an affair that ended. So we all know that everybody in the room's got past the affair thing and the courtship thing in your pregnancy center. Everybody in here is affiliated. We've got a pregnancy center. We made it down the first hill. The next stage is infant. And these stages, you'll notice, are named like children. Infant, adolescent, prime. In your infant, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of care. Now, as we look at these stages, it isn't chronological by age. You don't have a pregnancy center for 5 or 10 years and then you're past infancy and you're in the go-go stage. You can stay in the infancy as long as you want. You can stay in a go-go stage as long as you want. You can stay in an adolescent as long as you want. But it goes back and forth. You might be in this stage, adolescent, and then the next thing you know, you get a great idea, and you'll drop down, and you'll do a go-go. Go-go's fun. You're going all the time, and you're doing. Then, after infancy, and we're going to go through this in more detail, then you'll be in a go-go stage. And that's a lot of fun. You're thinking of new ideas. You're taking your center medical. You're adding new programs. Of course, you're directing this all now, and you're raising the funds for it. And the trouble could be here that the founder of the center, the leader, the executive director, has trouble, moves on, That's a big deal. Then adolescence. See those squiggly lines are there for a reason. Adolescence stage of your pregnancy center is very similar to adolescence and youth. Youth unrestricted, youth untrained, youth unsupervised. This is a heck of a time to manage your center. It's bumpy. If it goes wrong, you can have a founder's trap where it says, again, that the people that started your center don't want anything to do with it anymore. Your director can be an unfulfilled entrepreneur. What that means is your director is so full of good ideas, but nobody's letting you do them. You can have a divorce where you just plain walk away and leave that center. And you can have premature aging, which does not mean you get old and ugly. It means you go over here and you have a witch hunt. And it's not unusual in adolescence to go over and have a witch hunt and fight with each other and run people off. The next stage is you get through all the adolescence and your center's working at prime. And that's a very nice place to be. But you could get very bored in prime. And so you might want to go down to the go-go stage and start a new aspect of your center. And that'll bring a lot of fun and energy, and then you'll go through the bumps of fun and energy and get back up to prime. Now, if I was sitting here as a new director, I would say that my center is in prime working on stable because I was really proud of my center. But in fact, a great majority of our centers are in the go-go stage, if not the infancy stage. And so we'll just kind of work around that little area here. And I laid the groundwork for you. Now it's going to get a little bit more fun. And let's describe what these areas really look like. Let's start with the first one, and I used double-sided paper, too, to save money. You knew that we save money, because we're directors. So we've got your courtship. Go back to that. Let's talk about what your center would look like in courtship. You're building personnel in a corporate commitment. A corporate commitment means that you file your 990s and your income tax. Do that, because the IRS is not messing around with you. I have been in less than 5 centers in the last 10 years that something happened, the treasurer moved away, and the new treasurer was slow coming on board, and things get busy, and you know what? We forgot to file the income tax. Yikes. Well, then perhaps as a new director, you've come on and you assume they filed the income tax last year, but you're not positive. Check. Because in these centers I'm alluding to, they got $1 million fines from the IRS. That ought to just wake you right up there, you know? It was worth the whole seminar right here. Now, we were clever enough to get all but one waived. But nevertheless, the IRS is not to be toyed with. They're a big deal. So in the courtship, we build corporate commitment. We make sure we have viability. That means we're doing something. And we define risks. Well, that's the description from the Eddies Corporation. Then, following to your right, problems. Promises are made which cannot be fulfilled. And there's no tangible worth. The only thing you've got is a lot of diapers. Yeah. So here's how it could look in the courtship stage in your pregnancy center. No structure. Generally, everybody relies on other pregnancy centers for materials, forms, and leadership, etc., which is a good way to start an infancy. The ED may or may not have previous PRC experience. Your finances look like this. Operational funds are raised through your first banquet. Client services, pregnancy, services, educational. That's about what you have to offer at that stage. Now, here's some of the problems in your first, in your courtship stage. You have no structure, and the executive director and the board are good people with good hearts, but not necessarily well-versed in business experience, which is why you could forget to pay your taxes. Your ED has little or no pregnancy center management experience, which you would expect at that stage. And financial, ongoing donor development is not prioritized. You just pray to God somebody gives you some money, and that's kind of how you run the show. And that's okay. That's the stage you're in. And your client services could look like this. Programs are dictated by the clients and may not complement one another. And that's not a bad thing. Perhaps in your center, there's two or three people. Thank you, Patrick. I'll just set that there. There's two or three people that have had abortions and have really suffered the trauma of it. And so right away you'd say, let's start a post-abortion ministry. Let's build that one first. It's a logical way to start. Okay, that would be how your pregnancy center would look in the first segment here of courtship. Think about your center. How many of you in here could relate to maybe that's where my center is right now? And there's your description and problems. And, of course, we want to help you solve those problems. The next stage of your center's development would be infancy. And here, as a director, your leadership's needs would be you're a risk taker. You're results-orientated, and you're hardworking. And we mean hardworking. You live and breathe the pregnancy center day and night, weekends. And your kids go to school, and maybe they're in high school, and soon the community finds out that you are the pregnancy center director and your kids are in high school, and your kids become the poster child, whether they want to or not, for the pro-life cause in high school. That one was not fun. That's infancy. The description on a corporate side on the next box to the right would be the focus shifts from ideas to results. You're starting to say, okay, we've got a pregnancy center. Now, what are we really going to do? You don't have a lot of policy and procedures manuals and internal systems because you're making this up as you go along. And your organization is highly centralized. That means you probably have one office. Here's some of the problems. The organization rushes ahead at full speed without knowledge of its strengths and weaknesses. And you have very little managerial depth. You're managing by crisis. Not a bad thing. If that's where you are right now, that's because you're running a center in its infancy. And just because a center is 10 or 15 years old doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't still in its infancy. Our whole movement's less than 45 years old. So we're pretty new at it, actually. Here's how infancy might look in your pregnancy center. You're reaching out for national leadership and organizational training, which is why you are sitting here. Your ED is the only paid employee and might be the founder. How many people in this room are the founder of their pregnancy center? Okay, good. I was the founder of my pregnancy center. Financially, many hold several different fundraising events, and you're very event-dependent. And your board is involved in fundraising. And you have no developmental manager. Client services, you'll offer pregnancy tests, social services, and educational classes. And in this stage of your center, you would have very loose structure. You don't need a big, complicated structure right now. Your ED, your director, generally lacks management and organizational assessment skills, You're working out of passion. You don't have a call yet for management skills. Furthermore, you don't really have a staff to manage. Just one or two people.
Yeah, I get a yes on that, huh?
Financial, your budget income, again, is very dependent on your events. There's little donor development, and there's not a lot of donor software either. That's where you are. These are the tools you have to work with. And then your client services, your programs are designed as a response to client needs instead of setting a corporate mission. Now, you heard a corporate mission presented to you just an hour ago by Roland. That's what a corporate mission looks like. But at this stage of your pregnancy center, in its infancy, you're doing what you can to meet the needs in your community. You're not looking long range down the road and saying, we need to have this kind of a plan. Is this making sense? I'm hoping you'll start to see what kind of a pregnancy center you're managing right now. Well, let's go on to the next stage. We've got through infancy. Now we're going to head to go-go. This is a really fun time. I should turn this down one more. There we go. In this stage of your pregnancy center, you're starting to get a stronger leadership. And, you know, if you're tracking with me on this, you've just noticed that there's no heading at the top of your page. So pull the staple apart and set columns so that you can see your title, description, problem, strength. Just a suggestion. In the go-go, you've got stronger visionary. You're strongly organized. But it's a difficult time. The function of where you're going and how you're going to get there really has to be addressed now. Moving to the right, your center's beginning to flourish. It's a time of transition. You have shared responsibilities. That means you have somebody to share responsibilities with. And you're recognizing the need for a policy and procedures manual. Now, not looking around the room with head bowed and eyes closed, how many of you have a policy and procedures manual you're using right now? Good. Told me something about where your center's at. We're finding at this stage you need systems, and the center's moving probably quicker than you can catch up with, and it needs a little bit different management style. Now, here's some of the problems. You're spread too thin. There's more work to do than time to do it and money to do it. It's hard to set priorities because everything's coming at you bang, bang, bang. It's hard to focus on one area because everything's coming at you bang, bang, bang. We are going, we are doing. You're opportunity-driven as you should be. If there's an opportunity in town, you catch it. What that means is if you have a friend who's the nurse at the local high school and she says, will you come in and do abstinence presentations? Well, yes, you'd be happy to. It wasn't on your plan for the year, but you're in the go-go stage and you're seizing opportunities. It's a great time for an organization. You jump on it. And then we have the founder's trap, which means that those who started the center want to hang on tight to the way they've started it. And maybe they never envisioned you doing abstinence educations every month at the high school. Maybe they wanted you there every day sitting at your desk greeting women at the door. There's a little bit of conflict there. Yes. And if you have a small staff, who's going to sit there and open the door if you're in the high school? So here's what it could look like for your pregnancy center right now. Your team is growing. You've got 3 to 5 people. But most employees are part-time, 15 hours a week. You jump from one priority to the next, seizing the opportunities. And you might lose credibility in the community because you're not able to keep up, or they expect more, Or they might figure it out, you're pro-life, and they don't want you as much as they did before. It's an adjustment time. You poor executive directors, and we consider you all executive directors. You can name yourself. You can call yourself a director or executive director. For fundraising, it might sound better if you're an executive director, or it might not, whatever suits you. Technically, you are an executive director when you have a satellite, because somebody has to be the head honcho. But anyway, we'll use executive director in this. I always felt more important as an executive director, even if I was the only paid employee. Financially, you look like this. You serve as the chair and the integral person of all events. You have a volunteer team to help, and your board is involved in underwriting. Does that resonate with any of you in here? I'm seeing some smiles. Seeing somebody else is getting sick at their stomach. Client services. You're doing pregnancy tests. You're doing social services, which would be the diapers, the clothes. You're doing educational classes. And you're investigating going medical. Because why not? You're in the go-go stage, and you are going to drive this center, and God is leading you into so many different places and ideas. So it's time to start investigating medical. And the excitement of a go-go stage is just wonderful. You can stay in that for as many years as you want. Whereas with the infancy, let me pull you back up to that one. When we were in the courtship thing, I mean, you got affiliated and you got your 501c3 one. That goes pretty quick. Although I've been in communities where it's taken 10 or 15 years. Seriously. But, you know, you get past there. And the infant one, you've kind of got yourself together and you've got a post office box and an address. That one can move pretty quick. But the go-go, you can stay in that for years and years and years. Many years, 10, 15, 20. But when you really get good at the go-go stage, and you got a lot of ideas, and you're raising more money, you are going to be propelled into the adolescent stage. And that's going to be some trouble. But let's not worry about it. Just know what you're expecting in these different stages of your organization. Adolescence is a really difficult time for your organization. The fun of a go-go stage has pushed you into adolescence, and now you're seeing great success, or you can have disasters. And your center is being reborn in some ways in the adolescent stage. Reborn in the fact that what worked for you before isn't working now. You have to design new ways to do it. One of the ways that pushes us up with the reborn is we realize that people are using home pregnancy tests a lot, and we could be seeing a lot of people that aren't. So we think, okay, let's offer ultrasound, or let's offer STD testing. It's driven by the needs of your community. It's a great need, but it's going to put demands on your center. It's going to push you where perhaps you didn't expected. So that's what I mean by being reborn there. You're going to have conflicts. See those bumpy lines? That's conflict. Let's say you're thinking about doing STI testing, and you're bringing your medical services on, and all of a sudden it occurs to you, I'll be running a medical clinic. Oh, like a doctor's office or a hospital. And at first it sounds really heady. We're a medical clinic. We're really something. And then it occurs to you as a director, I am running a medical clinic. What in the heck is that? And same thing with your board members. They're sitting there thinking, yeah, we got to offer these services to our clients. We can, and Karen will show us how, and they'll walk us through it, which we will. And then all of a sudden your board says, we sit on the board of directors of a medical clinic. Well, I didn't realize that. So it's a little bit of adjustment. Are you starting to see the bumps in a go-go? Maybe you're in this adolescence now. And the conflict that can come in is you've got people on your staff or good volunteers or board members who say, the way we used to do it is this way. And why are we doing it now? I knew it this way. I don't know it now. I think we should go back to the way we used to be. And maybe one of your board members is saying, I used to introduce at the banquet, the pregnancy center. I used to be the one that talked in the microphone. And I like doing that. And now you're bringing in other people. That doesn't feel right. I like the way we used to do it. And maybe as a director, you're thinking, I like the way we used to do it because I would sit at my desk and I would have time with my volunteers and I would see clients and my heart is with clients. And now I'm doing paperwork and I'm going to have to do more paperwork. And no sooner do you get yourself a center policies and procedures manual, which we all know is something to get, and then you have to keep it up and refresh it. What? And then you think about going medical, and you have to get a medical policies and procedures manual. Like, who knew? Which one of us started out to run a medical center, huh? So there is the conflict in growth, the advantage and the conflict. This making sense? Oh, good. Because I don't want you to think that this just happens easy. These are stages of conflict and difficulties and advantages. And we want to help you through these. But don't be alarmed if your best volunteer, when you're adopting these new services, the one who was faithful and you count on, say, I don't like the way we're running the center anymore. I like the way we used to do it. Maybe the way we used to do it is after every client we saw, we got together, those three of us in the center, and we talked about what we could do to help her more, what does she need, the interesting things about what did she say, and we all know our clients can say some very interesting things. Now that we're in this advanced stage of tracking things, and we don't get together. No, we have one person who works with the client, and then she passes it on to the next person. And we have HIPAA requirements of confidentiality. One of us doesn't know what the other one's saying. And your volunteer says, this isn't as fun as it used to be. This isn't the way we used to do it. We've got conflict coming. So, directors, I want to prepare you for this. This is not unusual. This is the rhythm of your pregnancy center that, remember, is a corporation. So there's high spots, there's low spots. There's the ecstasy of, we have got programs to go into the middle school. We've got cute abstinence presenters that the students love. But we also have to pay them. Do we pay them part-time or full-time? How many hours? What does that say? The Department of Labor rears its ugly head into your lap. How many of you came into this job knowing the Department of Labor? No, but all of a sudden you have to know the Department of Labor. And by the way, they're changing the rules at the end of this year. But we got a seminar on that too. We're here for you. But, oh, it's real fun until you have to roll up your sleeves and do the work. And then we'll talk about a decentralization and management versus centralized. It looks like this in a pregnancy center. Centralized management is I am the director, and I tell everybody what to do, and I have a pretty good idea what we should do, and everybody tells me what they're doing. Pretty nice. Got your fingers right on the pulse. You aren't usually in a go-go stage, but in you get more jobs, or maybe you open up a satellite center in the next town, or you get a mobile van, then all of a sudden you've got more people that need to report to you than you've got time in the day to think about, and you've got your jobs. This can cause your blood pressure to go up. This is no fun. What this was it was centralized. You ran the show, and you ran a good show. But then the show got too big, and so now you need to hire people, and they report to you. Well, that's a lot. So then you've got to have somebody that the people you hire to report to. And so that's not as centralized. Does that make sense? You know, feel free to raise your hand and stop me anytime. So, go. There's troubles there. Let's look at what the adolescent. We're an adolescent. Let's look at what that looks like in your center. And this time, let's stay with what adolescence, and if you've torn yours apart, adolescent column is so long for the pregnancy center that it goes on to the next page. Yes. So we've talked about, let's start again on the far left, adolescence, difficult time. Your leadership skills that are needed to run the adolescent center is strong and organized. All those policies and procedures manuals are your friend. Crisis management. And form is now more important than it used to be. Things are formalized. The Department of Labor's hours on who's part-time and full-time. You got to figure that out. That is a more organized form. A description of this time is a crucial time in transition from your founder or long-term board members and volunteers. You're a self-sustaining organization now. Your specialization is required of team members. In fact, team members could be a big deal. And a professional is retained to resolve issues that developed in your infancy and go-go stage. So, these issues, you might need a CareNet consultant to. And we're here to help you through these stages and with these stages. Some of the problems with adolescents, leadership crisis. Maybe the last leader stepped down, he couldn't keep up with it. Delegation of authority now is different. Change in leadership happens. Goals have changed. Perhaps there's a temporary loss of vision. Do we want to be a pregnancy center, or do we want to just forget the pregnancy center part and be a doctor's office? And you don't know what to do. That perilous. You feel very paralyzed. Let's boil it down to your center. If your center is in an adolescent stage, your pregnancy center begins to recruit board members who offer leadership and accountability. Now, this is where we need to just kind of back up and talk about board members. In your courtship and infancy, your board members are often solicited at your fundraising events. You have a piece of paper and it says, do you want to volunteer in the center? Do you want to give baby clothes? Do you want to give money? Do you want to be a board member? Check one. And that's how you get board members. And as your center grows and evolves, you're starting to get board members by, what do I need on my board? You look around. Do I need board members from a lot of different churches? Yes. Do I need a doctor or a lawyer? Yes. Do I need a business person in the community who could track with me on these stages? Yes. Do you need an accountant or somebody that could read QuickBooks? Yes. I was doing a consultation for a pregnancy center, and you know, I get there, and I want to meet everybody, and I say, okay, we've got a president and a vice president. That's good. That's that person. She has two roles. Then we've got a secretary. We got this person. And then we had three other people around the table who are board members at large. I said, who's the treasurer? I said, well, we don't have a treasurer. I said, well, you need a treasurer. Who's counting the money? And I said, also, the IRS says you need to have a treasurer. You need to have board officers. Okay. I said, well, we need you do? And they said, we've been looking for one. And one of the board members opened up her purse, took out her checkbook, slapped it on the table and said, I will give $100 to anybody who can find us a board member who will be our treasurer. I went back to my hotel room. I said, somebody threw the papers that night. I said, there's got to be a CPA in this town we could call. I checked later on, some months later. They did, in fact, find somebody who has financial abilities to sit on their board. So that's what it looks like with a more developing board. You say, we need this job on the board. Let's go find somebody with this job. Sometimes you'll see yourself on a board with all men or all women, and you'll say, men and women think different. We need a different thought process on the board. We need more men or more women. We definitely need more different churches represented on the board. The critical thing here is you look at yourselves and say, who do we need to sit on this board? And then you go find them versus any warm body will do at the beginning. A big transitional change. Then another difference with your board members is you're starting to assess client outcomes. Your ED, or maybe now you want to call yourself a CEO. You can. Pick. Make yourself feel good. You recognize the need to assess client outcomes. But you aren't sure of how you should do this. But we help you with that annual CareNet report. You know, we give you a heads up. We're going to ask you these questions. Was the client abortion vulnerable or abortion minded? Was the client going to, you know, you've got to know that. And then we ask you this so we can do stats on it. And we try to tell you here ahead of time. I remember as a director, I would get the year-end report. And they would want to know answers. How many, I remember one year, how many diapers did you pass out? If they would have told me I was going to do that, I would have started counting them at the beginning of the year. It was like a pop quiz. But CareNet has also advanced, and we don't care how many diapers you pass out. But a long time ago, it seemed important. We also have grown. And then it talks about, you have to recognize the need to assess client outcomes, but you're unsure of the process, and your ED gains leadership training through national organizations. That's why you're sitting here. We are giving you leadership training. And financial, now your operating budget is established with rudimentary accounting, which means you do have a treasurer, and you are paying attention to that now. Now, here's some of your problems. Oh, wait, there's one more. Goes on your next page. And we're under the pregnancy resource description under adolescence. You got three white blocks, and then we're talking again. I'll start at the beginning of the sentence. Operating budget is established, and a rudimentary accounting system might be in place. Donor development becomes priority to sustain your programs. All of a sudden, what this means is your steely-eyed glaze has gone away from your clients, and you're starting to think, I need to think about my donors. I need to start interaction with my donors. I need programs with my donors. I should take them out to lunch. I need to talk about the center to my donors. Donors become very important. And this is a stage where directors can often find it very uncomfortable, because if you had a heart to be seeing clients in the center, all of a sudden your emphasis is now on your donors, and other people in the center are loving your clients. That's a big one for women in the pregnancy center movement. Some of us are so fulfilled and happy meeting clients, and we've got a good skill base. But there comes a time in the center when you can't. You have people underneath you that get the joy of working with clients, and you are now working with donors who can be very much like your clients. You'll enjoy it. And then you're offering in your center pregnancy testing, educational classes, referrals for social service,
abstinence programs, ultrasound, STD testing and treatment. You might not be offering all of these, but you're certainly thinking about it. And some of the problems in adolescence. The leadership needs training in strategic planning and outcomes. Your leadership needs training in donor development. You can expect some infighting with personnel and volunteers now, looking for the old normal. I'm not exaggerating the fighting and the difficulties in adolescence. It's not your fault. It's just normal development of people as there's more layers of responsibility and accounting laid on them. And new ways aren't the way we used to do it, and we were so good at the way we used to do it. And here you are as a director saying we have to do things different. It's going to cause fighting. And then you'll have staff that think that they should be promoted and they should be the ones doing it. And what do? You go outside the organization and bring new people in. It ticks them off. Fighting is what happens in adolescence. But it doesn't have to end there. As a good director, you soothe it over and lead your people to new horizons. You could throw something at me anytime you want. Your ED or your CEO needs training in building and managing a growing team. And your management style is decentralizing now. Not every problem is coming to your desk. Only so many problems come to your desk through certain people. So you have a staff now. You've got to have a staff now. And they have their own assignments. And men, it's an interesting thing. As you work in the pregnancy center, you naturally come on to a higher functioning center because you aren't doing pregnancy tests, we hope. I've noticed that as the transition forms, some of us directors who are women love to do the pregnancy tests. But you gentlemen hopefully never did the one-on-one counseling with women behind closed doors. And so you've often come in at a different level of the organization because at the beginning you need a director as you're starting this pregnancy center who can do pregnancy tests and meet with the clients. So the transition of duties means decentralization. That's what that big old word looks like. Financial, your pregnancy center is definitely more focused on individual donor needs. You're getting tools to build soft tools to manage your donors, software now, and there's different companies that sell software, and maybe you have volunteers that have software writing, but you need to use something to track them. And your client services are being restructured, perhaps entangled, restructuring priorities and outsourcing and peripheral services. Your center can stay in adolescence for a good 20 years. You know, it doesn't age chronologically like the human body. And knowing what kind of a center you're managing, I thought could be a gift to you today. I could talk to you on different ways to work with boards and volunteers and staff. But I thought the best thing I could give you is just an overall look at how this whole thing goes together. So if your center is in a go-go stage, fantastic. What a great ride. If your center is moving into adolescence or is in adolescence and you come into some rocky water, it isn't you and it was not the talents of the last director. And it isn't your board, and it isn't the talents of the last board member. Please hear me say this. It is just the getting used to growth, new ways of doing things. And yikes, it's hard. So whatever center you're managing right now, kind of try to fit it in your mind and say, okay, this infighting, it isn't my management style. It's just people getting used to new ideas. I can remember with a medical center, I had the hardest time knowing, why do we have to have different dots on people's files? We never had different dots on people's files. What? Took me a while. And then I became
You worry about the dots. I'm going to go meet with the donors. That worked better. Of course, to do that, you got to have staff. To have staff, you have to raise money. You can't just say, I want my center to be here and there and doing this and that. You got to have the money to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what, and let me refer you to the page we're talking on. Yeah. Okay. So, as you're outsourcing, what would a pregnancy center need to outsource? Well, for one thing, you might need to outsource your accounting to eKairos. Another thing you might need to outsource is some of your ultrasound. Maybe you're at a place where you're ready to offer ultrasound, but you do not have a doc in your town. Now, the great thing about ultrasound is it moves the center to a new level. The funny thing about ultrasound is it's a medical service, and you cannot provide a medical service without a doc and medical professional. So at that point, your center's ready to go and provide these services, but you got to think of who can I outsource it to. Did that help? Where's your center at? What would you need to outsource? I bet all of you here could think of something you need to outsource, unless I put you on the spot. You can think. But it's as your center grows. And some of you might never find a doc in your community, but maybe you can share a doc via email through another community or outsource to an area. Sometimes hospitals in different communities have given grants. One of the greatest outsources I ever saw, I'll just throw this out here. It's a crazy idea. It works somewhere and it would never work other places. Centers want to do STD testing, STI testing. Either a disease or infection. I know the typical thing is you can't have a disease until you have an infection. But the general public in America doesn't know, so STD will usually work. Center wants to do STD testing. And there is a gal in their church, the director's church, who works for the county health services. And county health services gets federal money. And they get more money if they do more STD testing. But not a lot of teenagers go to the county health service department to get anything. And they don't even know it's there. What this gal needs is more people to treat. And what the pregnancy center director needs is STD testing in the center. And some very creative things were done. The health department then used the pregnancy center as a testing location. And the pregnancy center could now offer STD testing. And interestingly enough, the health department would pay for advertising for the center to advertise they do STD testing. It was a nice arrangement. It was outsourcing. There were bumps along the road. The health department had a phlebotomist come once a week, and she'd do blood draws, and that was all fine and good. But she also had a jar of condoms that the government said you got to drag along with you. Now, how are you going to do that? They figured it out. It wasn't easy, but it was outsourcing. And so that's just an example. It could only work where God put it together, but it worked. Outsourcing will be very clever and creative. And I couldn't give you a seminar on it, but maybe the Holy Spirit will stir up something in your community. Outsourcing is great with your finances. Maybe there's a CPA or somebody really gifted in financing in your community, and you go to them for a need and say, I didn't know there was a Department of Labor, and I hear they're changing the rules. I don't know what the rules are. Would you help me? Would you come alongside of me? You know, I gave you an example earlier of a pregnancy center that forgot to pay their income tax for a while. We outsourced. What we did was I sat there and said, we've got to have somebody help us. And they said, well, I don't no, I think there's a CPA in town, but I don't know if they're Christian. I said, and I don't know if they're pro-life. And I said, let's go talk to them. Let's just talk to them. And the story ended where the CPA loved him and became a board member, but not easily. The CPA said, you know, I was raised in the church, but I got some trouble with the church. Okay, the director could lovingly talk about that. And then the CPA said, I don't know where I stand on the abortion issue. The director talked to her about it. And she made a complete change. But just note for the file, we would have used her services, whether she did any Christian conversion or pro-life conversion, if she would just help us for free. Then that would be what we need. But she outsourced the need into the community. As a director, you look around, and I say she because I've just, yeah, excuse me, gentlemen, I didn't mean that discriminatively. But you're outsourcing. You're finding a need in your center, and you're going to see who in the world can help me with it. Thank you for that question. It's a whole lot easier with an explanation, isn't it? Just like you're running a corporation. Really? I thought I was running a ministry. No, it's a corporation. Okay, so one more thing I wanted to highlight on this adolescent thing. It takes money. And we've got a lot of workshops this year, last year. You can always download CareNet workshops. We've got books on donor development. We've got books on fundraising. But as a director, where some of you might be in a center where you are doing the pregnancy tests, but to grow your center, you will need money. And that will take your time and talents to donor development. And so it'll be a transition time for you. As you look at this paper and think, where's my center? What kind of a center am I managing? One of your big clues will be, how much time do you spend with clients and how much time do you spend with donors? That's a real transition period in there. And you've got to have the staff to get out the door. To be in the community. And of course, to have the staff, you have to pay them. And that's where it stretches all of us. There's some troubles in there. You can't get out the door to interface with the community because you're meeting with the clients. I have seen directors who've made a very wise choice. When their center got to this level of growth, their heart was still in the counseling room. They still wanted to meet with clients, and they didn't enjoy leaving the clients behind. And so they said to the board, I'm going to step down from the director, the ED, or the CEO, and I'm going to work with clients, find somebody else. And I've watched more than one director do that. The center's happy, they're happy. It's where your heart is. But the development process usually is you go from seeing the clients to training other people how you want them to see the clients. But it's flexible. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Well, I wanted to really identify that adolescent and go-go, because that's where a lot of our centers are. I will briefly touch on prime. And here's the interesting thing. If your center is in prime, doesn't mean it'll stay in prime. It could drop back down to go-go. In fact, it probably should. Because if your center isn't growing, it's dying. So it's good to be growing. And a lot of times when a center is in prime, they're looking for new things to do. Often it's a new program that their community needs. And so to do that program, they've dropped back down into the go-go stage. And then they'll take the good idea and the excitement of it and we'll run with it. And then they ride it through the bumpy adolescent and they incorporate it in prime. And then they're thinking, well, what else can we do better? And they get another great project and they go with it. So once on top of the pointer here, doesn't mean you stay there. And
the big problem with Prime, I'm not using my own computer, but still the buttons are the same.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Prime just real briefly because it doesn't last long. Pity. And you get stale, you need a new thing, you go to conference. Maybe you hear Roland talk about this church partnership, and I'm thinking, yeah, church partnership, more clients, more money, more work. And so definitely more work. And so then we'll go back down to the go-go stage of the clients. But we're experienced, and we'll get through the adolescence pretty quickly, we hope, and incorporate that into Prime. You come and go. You could be 20 years here, 25, 30, whatever. The whole movement of what we're doing isn't very old. I mean, my goodness, abortion has only been legalized so long. The first pregnancy centers were birthrights. They came out of Canada. Louise Summerhill started them. And they were definitely the courtship infancy. They probably never made it any further. I was a birthright director. And then when CareNet was invented, I jumped on that bandwagon. And I've been very happy here. So let's look at what a center in its prime looks like. Well, you've got good leadership skills, or you'd still be back in go-go, or you'd be fighting in adolescence. You've got functional systems and organized structures. You're results oriented. You meet your clients' needs, and you've got predictability. And you spin off new organizations, satellites, mobile centers. The problem, not enough well-trained people, and you still get the infighting. So, directors, please hear me. Just because there's fighting in your center, it doesn't necessarily mean anything of your leadership. It means it's a reaction of your people to growth and change. I wish they'd quit it, though. Okay, here's some of the perhaps your center would see in Prime. You'd have executive positions filled by experts in the field. You definitely not have everybody reporting to one person. That's decentralization. And you would follow your mission, and you would actually know your mission. You would know your mission statement, and you would have constructed your mission statement appropriately. Your CEO has leadership skills that are strong. They're very involved in the community. They're aware of AR, that's area resources, and community statistics and needs. And you have financial. Individual donor development is 50% of the income or higher. You're not making all your money on banquets and walks and baby bottles. You're still doing that. But you have donors who plop down $20,000, $30,000 checks. Wow, what a fun thing. Your financial goals are established and monitored. You have good events. You're using more software. You're writing timely thank you notes. I thought that was important to include. Note to the file. Your client services, you're doing pregnancy testing, abstinence, ultrasound, STD testing, the community referrals for social services, and you're looking for maybe prenatal care services. Wow, that would be Prime. And that means your center would be providing prenatal care. And then here's some of the problems. Your team may be missing key members because of lack of experience or funds. New satellites might cause criticism of current sites. When you get a new satellite, your new satellite will go through these stages. And that'll be fun. Your CEO might be weary from the transition to Prime. You might be the new CEO because your center isn't Prime and the last director was weary. You might be the new director because your last director got killed in the adolescent or go-go stage of the witch hunt. It happens. And financial. We left that blank, but I'll tell you what I put in there. Good news. Big banquets. Banquets where you don't just ask people to fill a table. You ask people to bring big donors to the table, and they come. Your donors are so important to you at this time. And now we're looking at grants. Wow, grants. Outsource grant writing, just a tip.
Maybe you could do it yourself if it's easy, but you're starting to outsource a lot of things. Maybe you can write good grants. Oh, and do tell your board members I said so. Every board member is expected to donate to the organization. Some can donate more than others. But when you start to fill out the grants, they're going to ask you, do all board members give money to the organization? You want to say yes. Client services. Your target client is reached through marketing and served through statistical programs. Strategical programs. Your PRC, now we're a PRC, educates community and donors. And your PRC models a professionally run organization. Doesn't that sound sweet? But if your organization isn't growing, it's dying. Well, we have 5 minutes. Can I clear up any point that you're absolutely so muddy on, you wish? Or any comments? Yes. Yeah. A good question. The center said, repeat the question. For those in the audience, the question is, how did the center and the health service center work out the condoms deal? Here's how they worked it out. If the clients wanted condoms, they could go to the health department and get them. That can only work when it works. It works great. Another question. Gentlemen. What disciplines do I? I need a financial person for sure. And if I can get a legal person, that's a goal, paralegal, lawyer. And then I would look for race. I want somebody of different races on the board. I want Catholic and Protestant on the board. Yeah, if you have more than one center, I like to see on the board a representative from each center to be on the board. I'm big on campus ministry. My passion has become taking your pregnancy center on your local campus. So I want a faculty member on the board. Yeah.
How do you get the board involved with paying, giving something monthly? Because we just had that question to arrive at our last board meeting.
You tell them that CareNet said that they should give. And you tell them that you would be glad to have a phone meeting with a CareNet representative. I'd be happy to do that. And I will tell them. And, you know, also, if your board's stuck and you want personal attention, both Patrick and myself are consultants that can come to your center and help you with these things. Use us. CareNet says every board member should give. I don't care what. I give very little on my board. But there is a woman on the board who has a lot of money, and she gives a lot, and she keeps her mouth shut about it. And I don't know what she gives, but I know she's got to give more than I do. It's not a high-paying job. Yeah.
How much exposure do board members have in the once you go multi-center? For example, center directors couldn't pick up their board members from the lineup. Is that typical, atypical?
Your board needs to be a team that works for you. You need to round them up. And you know what? Your board chair is your key. Picture a stagecoach coming into town. Picture 6 horses pulling it, 2 people sitting on the top. Inside your stagecoach are the people in your pregnancy center, those precious cargo. The horses are your board members. They are pulling your center along. They might not look like it, but the IRS says they are. Sitting on top, holding the reins of the stagecoach is your board chair, not your director. The board chair runs the board. The director is riding shotgun, sitting right there by the board chair, saying, we got to watch for this. Let's try this new program. Let's try this. Be careful, there's a hole in the road here.
if the board chair fails to do their job, falls off the wagon, so to speak, then the vice chair picks up the slack. The vice chair falls down, then you go to your secretary treasurer. As a director, you're so likely wanting to, if your board chair falls apart and is not of any use whatsoever, you want to grab the reins and run the board. Don't do it. Go down. Make the board pull their own weight. Sometimes you do need to bring a consultant into your center to train your board. Or send your board here. We'll train them for you. You want the board to help with their work, raise funds, give you guidance, think through problems, give you support. You want to be able to turn to your board chair and say, pray for me, encourage, and think. Visionary. Think. And that's where your board changes from the small board where just anybody was on it, because we all have the same heart and passion. But as your center grows, you need more expertise on the board. And you will be saying problems to them. For instance, you might say, board, the Department of Labor's rules change in the end of the year. We need somebody on the board to look into that. Oh, there's a job. Yeah, question, what's the ideal size of a board? I think it takes a whole lot of skill for a board chair to run anything over 12. That's just Yvonne speaking. But a lot of our very big centers are run by boards of 7 to 12. And I have seen smaller centers need 5. Check with the Secretary of State. I travel in all different states, but in Colorado, the Secretary of State says you have to have 3 board members. That's too small. 5 is good. 7 is good. Directors, you should be non-voting board members. That is, IRS is very happy with that. And I say, let's make the IRS happy. California laws say that they want you to be a voting board member unless your bylaws say you aren't. And different states, you know, we got to, in a general session like this, I can't go into New York, California, but just check, make sure you're in compliance with your state. Question? Oh, good question. What's my opinion on term limits? And for those of you that want to leave, you can give the evaluation. Please be kind. Term limits. That has been a thing that comes and goes. You don't want dead wood sitting on the board for a long period of time. You want to bring new, fresh people in. But if you've got some talent that wants to still go, why lose them? And so I'm speaking to the fact that I think it's good to keep talented people on the board. So I would suggest something in your bylaws, and your bylaws are around. When you change things, just change your bylaws so they speak to what you're doing. You might want something in your bylaws that says that we have 3-year terms. And for a board member that's willing and at the board's approval, you can serve longer. Another 3-year term, and then renew every 3 years. I sit on a board now, and I was timing out, and I really wanted to stay on the board, and the board said, you might be useful. And so I said, well, that'd be good. And so every 3 years, I'm up for stay or go. They can get rid of me, or I can go. I would break it down, and did your board meet once a month? Lie to them and say you only have to go to 12 meetings a year. The lie is because we want them on committees and they're working more. You know, you're looking for people that can give you what they've got. And if you've got talented people that cannot give you, then it's not going to help you to put them on the board because they will sit there as dead weight. And just for the record, I don't advocate lying to anybody. I just got away doing something silly. Thank you. Thank you.